Now, the word gospel means good news. And Luke's gospel presents us with an arc of good news that begins with the blessings inherent in the births of both John the Baptist and Jesus, and then ending with the blessings of rebirth found in Jesus' resurrection. And that arc, that's a microcosm of the whole of Scripture itself, which begins with the good news of creation and ends with the good news of Eden restored. And like the epic story it is part of, Luke's gospel begins and ends in a holy place where God dwells. The first characters we meet in Luke's telling of the good news help to set the stage for what is to come. We meet Zechariah the priest, his wife Elizabeth, their first son and only child John, who will one day baptize Jesus. Luke chooses to begin here. Zechariah at work in the temple in a role chosen by lot each year, serving in the holiest of holy places where the Ark of the Covenant once resided. As Zechariah enters the holy space, an angel appears to him with a message. His wife will give birth to a son, and Zechariah is so amazed by this word from God, he is struck dumb and will remain silent until his son is born. Only then, only in celebrating God's unexpected gift, will Zechariah be able to praise God and pronounce a word of blessing for the people. John's birth is a miracle in more ways than one. The final verses of Luke's gospel echo this first story as praises and blessings flow from the lips of Jesus' first disciples who gather in the temple continually to worship God after the miracle of Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. And even outside Jerusalem, praise and worship and prayer are part of Jesus' life and teaching. In Luke's gospel, local synagogues are often the setting for miracles, healings, and teachings. And on multiple occasions, Jesus turns aside to pray in private. His connection with God gives him wisdom and strength and models for his followers what it means to know God, to trust God, to abide in God, and then to help birth the miracle of God's kingdom on earth. So when Jesus responds to a man in the crowd who asks, "Teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance," Jesus responds not with a parable about dysfunctional families and inheritances. That one's going to come later. You know the one I mean, right? The prodigal son, the loving father, the jealous brother. Yeah, that's later. No, Jesus responds here with a parable about wealth and greed and possessions and a lack of relationship with God. Maybe you noticed that. God's missing from the wealthy farmer's musings. When presented with an abundant crop of grain, he remarks to himself, "What shall I do? I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones. I'll say to myself, 'Take it easy.'" By tradition, a wealthy farmer such as the one Jesus describes in his parable ought to be bringing a portion of his abundant harvest to the temple, giving a grain offering for thanks for an overflowing barn to the one who sent the rain to water the earth and the sun to warm the soil. He might also say a word of thanks for his workforce. For surely such a wealthy farmer had help with the plowing, the sowing, the tending, the harvesting, the winnowing, and the grinding of all this plentiful grain. Surely there were many hands involved in this work, yet there seems to be no word of thanks for the laborers, no bonus paid out for this bumper crop. Nor does there seem to be any attention given to the provision of leaving a portion of grain in the fields to be gleaned by the poor. To this wealthy, inward-focused farmer, God says, "You fool." Now, in the Gospel of Luke, we hear Jesus utter the word fool only one other time. It occurs when Jesus is invited to dine at the home of a Pharisee, but that same man criticizes Jesus when he skips a ceremonial washing before the meal. Jesus lashes out at the foolish people who are more concerned with outward appearances than with inner thoughts and intentions. You give God a tenth of your produce, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. According to Luke's gospel, the rich face the greatest kingdom challenge in this world. Money, wealth, possessions, greed, those are Jesus' most common teaching topics. Even before his birth, his mother Mary prophesies over her son, proclaiming, God has brought down the rulers from their thrones and sent the rich away empty. In Luke's version of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, but woe to you who are rich. When Jesus tells the story of a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus, it's viewed as a warning to the wealthy to use their wealth for the sake of others. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus tells a wealthy ruler who seeks the key to eternal life. Now, lest we think there is no hope for the rich in Luke's gospel, we also meet in this gospel Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, a Jew, a tax collector, the wee little man of song, who climbs a sycamore tree to get a better view of Jesus. When Jesus invites himself to dinner at Zacchaeus' home, Zacchaeus welcomes him enthusiastically, and he's so changed by his encounter that he promises to give half his possessions to the poor and to pay back fourfold anyone he's defrauded. Some would call that a real miracle. Zacchaeus experiences the change of heart this wealthy farmer lacks. Attention to God would seem to be the difference. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home. The farmer seems not to seek the presence of God either in his own home or in God's. Like so many encounters with Jesus in Scripture, Zacchaeus experiences a rebirth. A choice is presented, a door is opened, and Zacchaeus walks through it. That's how the crowd gathered around Jesus hears the story of the wealthy farmer as an opportunity, an open door. So what should they do? Luke's gospel offers these words from Jesus next. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom's already given to us. It is in us, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of trust, the Spirit and the presence of abundance. It is in one another, the Spirit of faithfulness. The miracle has already occurred. Do we have the eyes to see it? The advice Paul gave to the Colossian church was clear. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, including greed. Allow the miracle of new life, Spirit-filled life, Kingdom of God life, to take root, to flourish, to become an abundant harvest that gives life to others and gratitude to God. Amen.